And so all Paul wants to witness when he arrives is the power of the kingdom of God being lived out. And I want to suggest to you that that power of love is demonstrated in the people of God as we care about each other.
Planting churches, preparing leaders, proclaiming the gospel till the whole world hears. This is the Grand Old Gospel Hour.
In the year 1624, English author and poet John Donne published a work entitled No Man is an Island. In it, he explores the interconnectedness of humanity. In today's teaching from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Dr. Tony Hart takes a look at the same principle, but from a biblical perspective.
You know, during the height of the COVID pandemic, there are many churches and businesses that had to close down and weren't able to be opened up. Employers allowed people to work remotely, as many of us were stuck at home during that period of time. And the Lord in his wisdom gave many churches, almost as though he knew that the pandemic was coming, the technology and the ability to be able to, now what we rely on so much is streaming, to be able to take the services beyond the four walls and provide it online so that the work of the church was able to continue. And as the vaccinations have helped to restrict the virus, businesses as well as churches reopened, much of the population had become comfortable with the remote access that we had acquired, and many people still today rely on that remote access. Well, the Apostle Paul faced a very similar situation back when he was writing to the church in Corinth, because he was unable to be there personally. And so he used the technology that was available to him at the time, and that was writing out on a scroll and sending that scroll, these letters, to the various churches. He faced the same dilemma after he planted the church in Corinth and then had to leave. They had grown comfortable there in Corinth, as well as other churches that he had planted, and relying on this remote access through the letters of the apostle, the church had become divided. The people were following different leaders. There was a lot of confusion going on about, you know, which leader you're following. And so Paul, before dealing with the sin and the problems in the church, which he's going to get into later in this book, he takes a moment here at the end of this chapter to remind all of us that loving relationships are important in our discipleship. Do I need to say that again? Well, I will. Loving relationships are important in our discipleship. He begins by saying there in verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. You see, you might have 10,000 instructors, but loving relationships are important in our discipleship. And so there's a danger in ignoring the benefits of caring relationships in our walk with Jesus. And let me be straight out with you, because you can get good teaching outside of coming together. You know, we can get good teaching on the radio and on TV, but let me tell you, those teachers will not sit with you and counsel with you when you have a problem. They're not going to connect with you in that way. And so Paul acknowledges that there are many teachers out there, but you don't have many who are going to care for you. You know, I've taught in the 101 class that a Christian who is not in an accountable relationship is like an orphan. And one of the things that in 101, y'all, it's been so long since some of you have been through that, you don't even remember this. But one of the things about orphans, especially in the tropical countries, is that, you know, they're not starving to death. You go to many villages and countries in Africa and South America, and their orphans run in the streets, but they're not starving to death. They can climb a tree. They can knock down a coconut. They can grab some bananas. They're not starving. There is food for them to eat. But how many of you know that without the care and correction and discipline and accountability that's provided by a loving family and parents that care for you, it is very difficult to grow up and become a well-adjusted contributing member in society? Well, it's no different for Christians. It's no different for us. You can go out there and grab a sermon, and you can grab a banana, and you can get a little spiritual food here and a little spiritual food there, but without the accountability of a loving relationship that cares for you, it is very difficult for you to grow up to be all God wants you to be. Amen. That's a weak amen, but I'll take it. And so we need to remember that that our discipleship depends on loving relationships. But in verse 15, he also says something that's interesting that jumped out at me. He mentions there this whole thing about while you have 1,000 instructors, you don't have many fathers. And the use of the word father there is interesting to me, because fathers represent those who care about your discipleship. Paul's use of the word father here speaks about those who will spend time with you, those who will teach you, those who will care for you. Now, it's true that some Christians have had a negative experience with their biological fathers, and so the analogy here is not always helpful for everybody, because some of us, when we think about our fathers, it conjures up negative attitudes. And so we can't really relate to the use of the word father here. But if you can go past your own personal experience and understand that what Paul is saying is that all of us need to have somebody over us who cares about us, somebody who will walk with us through all the issues of the day. And so Paul here wants to conjure up the highest ideals of fatherhood. Now, you know, most of us that are fathers know that we all fall short of those highest ideals. But the fact of the matter is, that's what Paul wants us to think about. And the ideal father is a provider. He's a protector. He's an instructor. He's a discipliner. He's an encourager. All those things, that is what Paul wants us to understand. And you can't get that on your screen. Are you hearing me? You can't get that on your screen. These are all things that we need as believers in our spiritual growth. And so we need loving relationships in order to experience that. You know, Pastor Sam had just last night found something on Barna, and he sent it out to all the pastors in our fellowship about how Christians have become comfortable, and through different age groups, it varies. And so one of the things he was saying is that millennials that are now, you know, the older group in the church, those millennials have only, I mean, 30 to 40% of them have not come back to the church. They've become dependent and comfortable with their screens, and that's where they are, and they haven't come back. And it varies a little bit by ethnicity, because I saw this morning the Barna status that, you know, white Christians, about 30% of those in that millennial group have not come back to the church. And 40% of non-whites have not come back to the church. And so I want to challenge us here at Monco Bible Fellowship. We need to understand that loving relationships are necessary for our discipleship. And I don't care what Barna says about Christians out there, we can do it different in here. And we need to find ourselves back in fellowship with God's people. I'm not suggesting that there's no value in remote teaching. Even Paul here used the technology that was available to him and his scrolls and letters and sent them out. That was how he used that technology to instruct the church. And the media we have today is a blessing and it's a tool, and we need to master it. I'm grateful even today as demonstrated we're getting there. We're getting better at it. And we need to master that technology. We need to be broadcasting. We need to be sending the word out there. The media that we have today is a blessing and a tool, but it is never a substitute for developing loving relationships that will help us in our discipleship. Look at verse 17. He says in verse 17, "For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church." In other words, Paul said, I can't be there. I'm all over the place. I'm in this church and that church, and he's serving all over the. I can't always be there. But he wants to make sure that those loving relationships are in place. So he's sending Timothy there to stand in his stead and to provide that personal, loving oversight, which will provide that discipleship for you. And so even though Paul couldn't always be there personally, he understood the value of a personal relationship and the need for that in our spiritual growth. And so his writing and the use of media available to him, he understood that that was not going to be sufficient. It wasn't good enough for him to just send letters, but he needed to send Timothy. You know, every parent knows that at times you have to be away from your children. Anybody ever got a babysitter to watch their kids? Every parent knows you can't just tell your children, don't do this, don't do that, stay away from the third, and I'll see you in the morning. That just doesn't work. Are you with me? So what do? We send somebody who, even when we can't be there, somebody who's going to provide that loving care and oversight and accountability to our children. They need somebody present that cares about them, even in the case of an emergency or a problem that comes up. And that's what Paul did. Paul understood that he couldn't just write a letter and say, you know, with his list of don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other thing. Be good little Christians. I'll see you all in a year. Well, Paul understood that wasn't going to work. So he sent Timothy. He understood that loving relationships are important in our discipleship. And we need to understand that as well today. But also, he understood the power of love is important in our discipleship. And he ends this portion of scripture in verses 19 to 21. He says, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness?" Paul understood that there is power in love. More powerful is love than the power of a rod. More powerful is love than the power of just words. The power of love is what he wanted to demonstrate. And so Paul in verse 19 reminds Corinth that he's coming, but when he comes, he's not interested in hearing about the good preaching. He's not interested in hearing about the charismatic personalities. He's not interested in hearing about those who are puffed up with pride. He's not interested in hearing who the big wigs are and who the little wigs are. He's not interested in any of that. Paul wants to witness when he arrives the power of the kingdom of God being lived out in love. And so what makes a church a great church? What is going to rebuild Monco Bible Fellowship? It is the power of love. It is us caring about each other. And so much so that we care about each other to help each other in our spiritual growth, to be accountable to each other as we seek to serve God, to share the word of God to those in our circle, to love and care for people enough to not let them just drift into an eternal damnation, but we need to care about them and love them into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so all Paul wants to witness when he arrives is the power of the kingdom of God being lived out. And I want to suggest to you that that power of love is demonstrated in the people of God as we care about each other. And so in order for that to be his experience, the church needs to be united in loving relationships. We need to be caring about each other. We need to be connected to each other. We need to be accountable to leaders and to each other. And they need to care for each other, and they need to be cared for by others. You know my daughter-in-law, Renee, right? And they live out in Harrisburg now. She decided to get a part-time job. She had stopped working as a nurse for a while because their kids were little. Now they're in school, so she figured she got a little bit of time. So she figured she was toying on whether to do substitute teaching or go back to nursing. So she said, well, let me try my hand at substitute teaching. So the first day she goes in, they put her in a fourth grade class. If you have any, I remember fourth grade. Well, those kids beat her down to the where nursing starts looking good. You know, I don't know if it was spitballs, but it was everything else. I mean, those fourth grade students just ran her to tears. So substitute teachers have a hard time. And why is it that substitute teachers have such a hard time? It's not because that they are any worse a teacher than the regular teacher, but they don't have that relationship. They don't have that. The students don't even think that they have any effect on their future. They don't feel accountable to the substitute teacher. They don't even know if the substitute teacher cares about them. And without that connection, without that relationship, it's difficult for them to take it seriously and learn. Well, I want to suggest to you that we need to not look at leaders as, you know, come and go substitutes. We need to see Jesus Christ as the one who ultimately cares for us. He demonstrated it by dying for us, caring about us. And he has appointed leaders, and not only the leaders in the church, but other Christians around us. He's put them in place around us so that we can be in those loving relationships and be accountable to other believers who will help us in our walk with Jesus Christ. You see, when there's no relationship, there's no accountability. You can do what you want. You can go where you want to go. You can do whatever it is you want to do. But the fact is that the power of love in our relationships can seem restricting. The benefit of accountability in loving relationships can seem like it's tight and sometimes a little uncomfortable. It's restricting sometimes. But the benefit of those loving relationships is that it will make beautiful music. Think about this. Loose wires don't make musical tones. But when their ends are fastened down, and that string is restricted, the harp, the violin, and the guitar can make beautiful music. Free steam, just floating in the air, cannot drive a machine, but when it is harnessed in a piston and turbine, it becomes a powerful force. An unhampered river can't power an electrical plant, but when you restrict it and dam it up, a force can be created that can light up a city. And I want to suggest to you that is sometimes it is the restriction of accountability and love that a caring relationship has on us that can create the power of the love of God that can light up a city. And so we need that kind of relationship. It is those loving relationships that will help us in our discipleship. And I wonder if, as we close out our service today, if you would just have a little talk with Jesus and ask him to help you to connect and be a part of that kind of a loving relationship. To not be a free agent that's just out there. Don't act like an orphan, but to be a part of the family and make it work for your relationship with God and your walk with him.
Thanks for joining us today. If you are grateful for our broadcast, you can play a significant part in keeping it available in your community and beyond. We rely on the prayerful support of friends like you who will join hands with us. Thank you for remembering this ministry and all the people we are reaching with God's Word. If you'd like to express your support, contact us today. You can call us at 215-361-8111. Again, that's 215-361-8111. You can also donate online at our website, gogfministries.org. Or you can mail your tax-deductible gift to our offices at GOGF Ministries, 158 East Main Street, Lansdale, PA, 19446. Your monthly gift will help us to fulfill our mission of planting churches, preparing leaders, and proclaiming the gospel to the whole world hears.